Welcome to this message by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Bishop Edwin Ogo is a seasoned minister of the Word of God whose messages on Christian living, church building, and the work of the ministry are a great inspiration to ministers all over the world. He pastors the Makanere Cathedral in Oyibi, where he ministers powerfully in various services, transforming lives and raising zealous church workers. You will experience the transformational force and power of God's Word as he ministers passionately to you today. Be blessed as you listen.
I saw the Lamb of God. He asked me to baptize him. John the Baptist said, my work on earth is done. Jesus must increase, and I must decrease. I have run my race.
Secret. West Choir. If you have enjoyed their ministration, clap for them. Oh, I want you to give a better hand clap. I've always told you the songs of our prophet, Bishop Doug, it's a ministration, said, I have run the race. You should ask yourself if you've run the race. We've come to the most important aspect of today's service, and it's the service that will deliver you. You know, one time I read a book by Derek Prince. It's called God's Healing Medicine. And it says that the word of God, if you are sick, you have to take it multiple times like the way you are taking medication. And at this very moment, we have reached a point when we have a very important, anointed, spiritual man of God in our midst. You know, I will tell you one thing. I told somebody that this, the man of God we have, he sees things that you cannot see. He knows things that you cannot know. And anytime I watch, when I was watching the collegonal ministration, I was telling somebody that, look, we have a gift in our midst, and the Bible says that let's give honor to whom honor is due. But in our house, I want us to learn how to give proper honor. Please rise up on your feet. Rise up on your feet and give honor to whom honor is due. You can run, you can shout, depending on how you are feeling. I am feeling good. You can jump. Let's welcome to the pulpit our prophet, our teacher, our father, Bishop Edwin Morgan. Go clap. Do it better. Do it better.
Can you clap your hands this morning? Are you happy to be in church? Are you very happy to be in church? And this morning, I believe that God has something very beautiful and very special for us. Wherever you have come from, I want you to know that you are going back to that place. A different person. Amen. 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 And I want us to also thank God for selecting us this morning to be in His presence. He has selected you. He has picked you. If you read in the Bible, you will notice that God was always selecting people. calling people. He began with Abraham. He was in his family. God selected him out. That's the Bible. The Bible is a book of selected people. Yes. Joseph, his father, gave birth to many children, but God selected him to be hated, to be blessed, to be used by God. All through, all the individuals, Jeremiah, Gideon, was in a family, he was in a tribe, he was select. Any name you see, when you open your Bible and you see a name there, you think that person was picked. So this morning, you are also one of such great people God has picked. Yes. And it is one reason, one of the many reasons why we are very happy, always excited to be in God's house, is that, you know, this is, turn your Bible to, as you are standing, look at Psalm 65. My favorite verse, one of my favorite verses, verse 4. You see, blessed is the man whom you choose. Do you have New King James in your list of Bibles? Yes. Blessed is the man you choose. Do you see? And cause to approach to you. I mean, these two phrases. Blessed is the man you choose. Don't worry, those who are there, you are going to have your TV screen soon. And cause to approach. You see, as you live, many of you are young. But as you grow up, one of the things you see is how different people are blessed. Some people are blessed because they have a rich father. So a lot of the problems some of you have, there are some people who don't understand that type of problem. It's foreign to them. Some people, they are blessed because they are very intelligent. Yeah, they go to school, they understand maths easily. Just some people go to school, when they sit in the classroom, what the teacher teaches, when they get up, there's no more learning. Some people must learn and learn and learn and do extra classes, vacation classes, special teacher. But some people, and that is the, that's how they are. They write exam, they pass, they get a job in Total Energy. They get a job as an accountant here, and they are going. Yes. Some people are very blessed because they are very, very beautiful. So all the things you have to do to let a man notice you, they don't do anything. I mean, they are just striking beautiful. And not just beautiful on the outside, but they are also beautiful on the inside. Their manners, if they are caring for you, they are talking to you, they are polite, they are forgiving, they are sweet, sweet. They are just sweet. Now, that is how different people are blessed. There are people who are blessed because I went somewhere and I saw someone who is directly connected to the vice president of a country. I went to another country. I met somebody who said the president comes to sit here almost every week. I was sitting with somebody about some weeks ago. We were eating at a dining table. He said, the president sits here to eat. This is where he sits to eat. So that person, you can imagine the contracts. You can imagine, I mean, connections. Now, you two, what do you have? You don't know maths. You don't know the assemblyman. You don't know the vice president of a country. You don't know the MC. You are a girl, but you know you're not strikingly. There are some girls, when you see them, I mean, her name is Hannah, but you, what do you call her? Emmanuel. Sorry, you are Hannah. Yeah. It's okay to me. Now, you, do you know you two, you are blessed? Yes. You are Hannah and they call you Emma. But your blessing is not maths, it's not the president, it's not the vice president. Your blessing is that God has chosen you. That's also your point. And brought you near. That's also your point. I may not know any MP, but God chose me. So you see, you are young. But as you go on and on and on, like I have been in school, primary school, what school was that? Secondary school, with rich people and so on. But you see, after about 40 years, let's even say 30 years. After 30 years, I didn't have a rich mother who had a lot of money. I wasn't going to learn. My father wasn't the owner, wasn't the Ghana rep for IBM. I don't know. But in the end, right now, when we meet, we are the same. Oh, yes. We are the same. I'm telling you, I don't know if you have such mates. Like vacation. And anyway, and also you are young. So you won't know. Right now, you may think that they are at an advantage. Like his father owns Hewlett Packard. His father is with the UN. His mother is the MD of this country. So right, as you are young, you see that there are differences. You don't have money. You don't have anything. Then they, when they are coming to school, a Mercedes Benz brings them. And behind them is a van with the chop box and the trunk and the food. But you, when you are going, you have to take four cars. One from Asin Manso, another one from Ajah number one. Then you move, and then you get. Is he? But if you live long, and you also believe that yours is also that God has chosen you, after some time, you see that you have a house. I've also built a house. You have a car. I've parked my car. You are in London. We are together in London. In fact, I have more things I can talk about than you, whose father was the owner of King Kong Enterprises. So your blessing may not be money or beauty or political connection. Your blessing is that God has chosen you. And it must mean a lot to you. Yes, your blessing is that God has chosen you. Now, if your blessing is that God has chosen you, what should you do? Yours is not maths. Yours is not accounting. Yours is not accounts. Yours is that God has chosen you. I mean, if you are a sensible person, what should you do? You should go deeper in it. Now, think about it. Your mother has not. If you are the one feeding your mother. But somebody's mother owns a company in 17 countries. Your father, even he has a stroke. Your father has a stroke. Somebody's father is the one who imports iron rods into the country. I mean, ask your neighbor, what do you have? Really, really. Let ask her, where is your father? Where is your mother? Please tell me. Tell me where your mother is. And what? Okay. Ask the question, what do you have in your family as a person? What do you have in your family? What do you have in your family? How many houses has your father built? One, two houses. Where are the houses? One is where? Edubiasi. Edubiasi. That's talking about houses in East Legon. You are saying Edubiasi. The proper houses say Edubiasi. They're not even shy to mention the name. I'm a proper house. My father's house is in Oyibi. My father's house is in Oyibi. People are building a house at East Legon Hills. What is Oyibi? So you and I, who don't have maths, who don't have accounts, who don't have beauty, who don't have handsomeness, who don't have cars. Our father is not well. Our mother abandoned us. We are on our own. What? And you have got Jesus who has chosen you. What should you do as a sensible person? What should you do? What should you do? You must give your everything to this one and go deep and do more because this is your own. Father, we thank you for today and we are grateful that we've come to church to hear your word. Speak to us. Let us love you. Let us serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Ephesians 3 verse 17. Today some of our pastors are being appointed. We are appointing pastors. We are ordaining some of us. So we are having a quick service and then we'll go and support them. So look at it. Today I'm talking about going deeper and doing more. In love. In love. Going deeper in love. And doing more in love. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Yesterday I was preaching about the historical Jesus. But there's also the Christ of faith. Our Christ is not a reconstructed historical Jesus. Our Christ is a Christ of faith. Yes, he was also history. He lived and died. But he still lives in our hearts. So he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye. Whenever you see the word ye, that is one of the biggest advantages of the King James Bible. The King James Bible has many weaknesses. The use of the words, the translations, so many problems. But one thing the King James Bible has that no other Bible can boast of is the use of the word ye and thou. You see, in the current English, I can say you to mean all of you. And I can say you to mean Emilia. So when I say you don't know whether I'm talking to one person, I'm talking to a lot of people. But that is what the King James comes in. The King James, when you see ye like this, it means it's a group. When you see thou, it is one person. So it helps you. So it's good to have your New Living Translation, NIV, a new American Standard. But it's good to also have the King James because it helps you to know whether a group is being addressed or an individual you is the one being addressed. So that ye, group, plural, being rooted and grounded in love. So straight away, you know that we are not describing the reverend who is the head pastor of the church or the bishop or the lady pastor. But ye means even the dancing star, the chorister, the sister who just came. That is the ye. Everyone must be rooted. If you are here, you are the one the Bible is addressing. You must be rooted. And when we see the word root, it means we are talking about deep. You, your faith, your life in Christ must be rooted and grounded, established in love. So your love life, you know, I'm so happy about the message I preached last Sunday, you know, about areas you must go deep in, the areas God takes you deep in, mercy, judgment. I mean, they look very abstract, but God spoke. Today, I'm talking about going deep in love. It's because it says you must be rooted in love. You will discover as you grow that one of the battles you will face in life is the battle to love. Because you are going to have heartbreaks, disappointments, distractions. You love this, then this one is pulling you away. This one is drawing your attention. You can't concentrate on this to love. As you grow, you see. So one of the things you have to do for yourself is to be rooted in love. Look at the next verse. So that what? Why? Verse 18. So that you will be able to comprehend with all saints. You see, once again, the he. All saints. What is the breadth and length and depth and height? 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge of verses and knowledge of theology and knowledge of things, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God, which is called the pleroma. Being filled with the fullness of God. This morning, I want to teach you a little about love. How to go deep in love. Number one is that you must do more by loving more. Love God more. Love God more. And you will go deeper. Love the Father more. When you love the Father who is in heaven, you will try to obey him. You know, when, even in our little church here, you will notice that there are many things you can be doing. I mean, somebody is projecting scriptures. Somebody came to sing. Somebody is going to dance. Have you danced already? You finished dancing? Now we are changing the things. You will dance at a certain point in the service, not at the beginning. Somebody has got a headphone on his head. That's why it's called a headphone. People came to arrange this place, the chairs here. Somebody came to open the doors. I see somebody with a camera taking pictures. They are macho men here. A proper macho and a slim macho. So you will notice that as we are in the church, we say we are having church, but there are a lot of things to do. If you are not careful, you will be soon drawn into loving the things you are doing and not loving the God who is the main reason why you are here. So you are going to find people who sing well, but they don't pray. You will find a group that dances so well as the Dancing Stars. They have 3 rehearsals every week. Every week. It's not a small group. Very hard working. For them to dance, it's a lot of work. But you will discover that they have never together 3 rehearsals a week. They have never gone to Mampon to go and wait on God before. So if you are not careful, you can easily be drawn and sucked into activities which are important. I mean, without ushers and without somebody arranging the chairs and singing and so on. I mean, without this, we can't have a church service. And the church must come together. We must have church. From the book of Acts, we must have church. We must have church with rich people. We must have a church with members who own lands. Members who can sell a house and bring the money, not part of it. And if they are bringing part, they explain that, my child's school fees, that's why I'm bringing part. But this is not it. So I'm just saying to you that apart from church, we who are here have to go to school. How many of you are students here? You are students in the church. You go to school. Kindergarten or whatever school. Yes. Look at the hands. So if you are not very careful, your personal life, your menstrual cramps have come in. Your academic life, you have got IA tomorrow. Should I go to church or I shouldn't go? No, should I go to church or I shouldn't go? I've got exams next week. Should I reduce my rehearsals? So if you are not very careful, you can be engaged at many different levels and on many different fronts and leave the God. You see, your love of Christ is the most important thing here. If you are here and you don't love Christ, then you are in a very dangerous place. I mean, I wouldn't want to love a woman who loves me more than she loves God. No. Because her love for me, her patience, her forgiveness, and all the things she will have for me will be drawn from her love for God. Yes. But some of you girls will love a man who gives more money to you than he pays tithes. Loving God is the main thing. Somebody came to Jesus and asked, to Jesus, and asked, which one is the main commandment? The first commandment. And this is what Jesus told him. You must love the Lord. So as you are here, yes, we must arrange chairs. Yes, we must sing. To sing, we must have rehearsals. Yes, we must dance. But make sure that these things do not destroy your love for God. If dancing has made it not possible for you to wake up and pray or have your quiet time, then you shouldn't dance. Don't dance. Because you are wasting your time. If dancing has made it difficult for you to now love God, that because you are a dancing star, you have met a girl, and you are now so into the girl that you can't concentrate on God, then you must leave the dancing stars and you must leave the church. And yes, there's a reason why a person has to leave a church. Yes. There is a time when you have to leave a church and join another branch of the same church. But sometimes you may need to relocate, because sometimes the church you are in, the things you have done with somebody and you have now changed, that's not the person you should be seeing every Sunday. It's wrong. Especially if the person is a soloist. Yes. Like every Sunday she sings before the pastor preaches. And she has been for 6 months. You have been doing things with her in cars, on trees, under cars, in offices. How? I will advise you to leave the church and move to the next branch. Do everything to love God. Go deeper in love. Go deeper in love. How is it possible that 2 years ago you were having your quiet time? Now you don't have your quiet time because you are so busy. You are not the leader of the dancing stars. So you don't have time to read your Bible. You are now following up converts. So by the time you come back, you are tired. In the morning, you must go to work. So you don't have time. How can it be that you have so many rehearsals or so many whatever that you can't, and you see, those are the people who can't maintain their commitment for a long time. Yes.
You are teaching.
Yes, it's true. So you will discover as you go on that you will have even film stars who can't attend rehearsals, who are not serious, who are fornicating, but they come and act nicely, they speak nicely, but they don't pray, they are not spiritual. Why? Because at the base of the, as I'm standing here, if my love for God is not correct, you are in a dangerous church. The pastor is not deep in his love for God. You don't want to be near a pastor who doesn't love God. It's a very, very, very dangerous lady pastor. Because love goes also with fear. Yes. So I'm saying to you today, believe God to have an increasing love for God. Deeper, deep, deep, deep. Love of Christ. Deep. I'm doing this because I love God. I will not respond to your things because I love God. If I respond to your things, I'm jeopardizing the faith of others. Yes. I love you so much, but I will not touch you because I love God. Which is what Joseph told Potiphar's wife in English. He didn't speak English, but he said something. So how can you and I, what you are suggesting we do, how can we do this and still have God in our lives? By doing this, we are showing God that, well, if you don't love God, I will not allow you to draw me into your ungodliness. I love God. So on Sunday morning, if your friend sends a text, "I'm not going to church, will you go?" Tell the person, "I am going to church." Never join your life and join your things to useless relationships. You have a beloved, she has a beloved, and you know that she's with the beloved. They are kissing, they are fondling, they are doing, you know it, that they are together sometimes. Don't follow her. Your love for God must not be drawn from human encouragement. If anybody will encourage you, it must be the Holy Spirit, and the Bible itself is the basis for your love. This flesh, it wants to eat.
Yes.
It wants to sleep.
Yes.
It needs gratification at all different. So to keep moving as a Christian, you can't join yourself to a human being. Know God through the Bible. Read your Bible. That's why we attend Bacenter meetings. That's why Bacenta shepherds must believe God to be very, very good teachers. That's why you are in church. We are in church because the word the pastor is preaching explains the scriptures we have read before that we didn't understand. Number two, do more by obeying more. Philemon verse 20. Philemon chapter 1 verse 20. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. 21. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. That's not been my experience. My experience is that I've had lady pastors and leaders doing less than I say. That's not my experience. My personal experience with my pastor is that I try to do more than he says. Is that in English? There's something called doing even more than someone says you should do. That you do so much more that you have to be stopped. Yes. You have to be stopped. I'm saying that as a pastor, my experience has not been this one. My experience is that I've had helpers around me who do less than I say. Bacenta leaders, regional heads, Santa, dancing stars, lady pastors. That is my experience. People do less than I say. I mean, I remember my pastor had to call me to his office 3 years ago. He had to actually organize me to his office far from where I stay. He sat me down. We were only two in a room. And he asked somebody to bring tea. I remember the biscuits with the tea. To explain to me with explanations and talking why I should not be attending certain camps he's having. So you shouldn't compare yourself to me. No. I mean, to explain to me why I shouldn't come. I'm coming too much. Not true. Like he's having this. He's and because reasons I can't give you. Because of this and this, I should not come. I should concentrate on my work and so on. I mean, there had to be a meeting. But when I am having a meeting with you, is to ask you to do more. Why haven't you done what I said you should do? That's my experience with you. So there is something called going deeper in obedience. Obedience to God's word, to the pastor's instructions, to the things you must do. There is something called obedience to what they are saying. My experience is that I have people around me who don't do, who do what they want to do. And you quietly watch people do what they want to do. Because there are limits in relationships. There are limits. No matter what you call a person or whatever, at least as for me, I know I have boundaries. Is there? I mean, when will your pastor have confidence in your obedience? Am I? It's not a poem I wrote this morning that I'm sharing with you. This is a Bible. He's telling Philemon, that I have confidence that as for you, not this one, not but as for you, you obey me. My confidence is that you will obey. And the first person to have confidence in us is God. God must have confidence that you will do what I say. Not what you feel you should do. What you think you should do. I am committed to you. 80% of you here in this room, it's because we came here that you are sitting in church today. That's why I have come. Yes, that's why I have come. If I had restricted myself to the glorious church I am in, I would never, you would never have known God. I mean, some of you are hearing certain things for the first time. I'm not hearing things for the first time. Or you don't understand English. It's, as you speak tree, you see. Is English okay for, with you? Are you hearing new things? Yes, that's why I've come. I don't have to be here. I am being paid for some work I do. This what I'm doing, it's not one of them.
It's not one of them.
It's too much. That's why I say that there are some people who do more than they are told. They are giving a church to pastor, but they add another church. They do more than they are told. It's in English. Can I tell you something you are not seeing this morning? There should have been great confusion in this service. The calmness and the quietness. I've been preaching for some 30 minutes. I've never shouted, be quiet, do this, that's it. No. Sit down, no. Because this place should have been teeming with people. A lot of people. That there are no chairs. And Clement has to run. We are going to get somebody sitting room chair, somebody sofa. We have somebody, people are sitting on the stage. The place is hot. We are sweating. There's a place. What type of church is that? So many people. Yeah, that's the church we should have been having this morning. The reason why there are a couple of empty chairs around is that people do far less than they have been told by God, by their pastor, by their leader to do. If even this short time we have been having church here, if everybody did what I told the person to do, we won't have space here. From reverends and lady pastors and dancers and all, I'm telling you, Bacenta leaders here. I'm saying to you that, as for me, my pastor had to call me with over tea. I mean, you think of yourself, when will somebody call you? Like in the Bible, they gave offerings till they were stopped. In Exodus. Don't give anymore. That's that. No, that you see, those are the genuine lovers of God. Not these type of actors and actresses. I'm asking you, when will your pastor ever say to you that it's too much now? You are doing too much. But this morning, I'm telling you, as we've started, we have begun a beautiful church. And in a certain sense, it's a season in our lives, all of us. It's a season in my life, a season in your life. It's a new season in everybody's life. Try in this season forward, try to be deeper in your obedience and do even more. Believe God that before you die, your pastor will call you and say, it's too much now. Take your time and don't do this. Don't have these meetings. Just do the basin is now too much because we don't have enough money to pay for the people you are bringing. And we are getting into debt. So let's keep them there. And rather, I'm going to send Esther to the place to have an early morning service with them there. But you bring the 14 buses. That 14 is okay. Oh, mommy, you don't seem to understand the preaching and preaching. You understand the preaching and preaching? Yeah. When will you be stopped that you are doing too much? You are praying too much. That the Bible reading is too much. The outreach is too much. I'm showing you in the Bible, people were stopped for doing too much. And one of them, he said, I know. He said, Moses gave commandment and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp. Saying, can I have New King James? So Moses gave a commandment and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp saying, let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. And the people were restrained from bringing 37. They were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient for all the work to be done. Indeed, too much. My experience with you is that even your tithe, you will not pay your tithe. To talk about giving more. You have money you are using to bet for today's EPL. Yes, but you don't have money to give as offerings. Ladies and gentlemen, it's enough. I don't want to say more. You yourself as a Christian have a mind. As you walk with God, am I doing more? I don't know who here. I'm trying to look around. I don't know who here is older than me. Maybe there is. But I'm not sure you'll be more than two. I have 5 services every weekend. At my age. That's too much. What are you doing? You attend some measly rehearsals. Are you not a pastor? Yes. How many services do you have? And it's not because I'm a full-time pastor. No. There's a church I used to pastor in a part of Accra called Matayeko. I'm sure some of you have heard the name before. It's around Dansuman. I was a pastor there for about 14 years. When I'm going to church, it's like I'm going for a fashion parade. Like I'm a model going to, you know, model clothes. Yeah. A lot of clothes. I preach one service, 2 services, 3 services, evening. Going there, I preach. I go to Russia. And I go to, not Russia, the Russia, there's a Russia in Accra. I go to Banana Inn. I go and preach there and come. I mean, that's me. One day somebody told me to my face, said, you are caring for me too much. And I agree. I agree. So I withdrew. I understood. Has anybody told you are caring for him too much? So I'm telling you that, you see, some of you sitting here, if I gave you this book to preach today, you will jump to the next chapter because you can't, as a Christian in all honesty, preach this because you haven't done too much. And that's why your Christian life, your spiritual life is at a certain level. These verses you are projecting, you can take it to PhD level. But no. You see that the only time he has an interaction with this machine is Sunday morning. Now, Number one, do more by loving God more. Number two, do more by obeying more. Number three, do more by loving the Holy Spirit more. There is something called the love of the Spirit. Romans chapter 15, and I'm ending. Yes. Romans 15, verse 29. It's frozen. Romans chapter 15, verse number 29. Okay. I'll read. Sometimes the computer has problems. And I am sure that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers. I didn't read it well. I'll read it again. I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service, which I have for Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints. Say, the love of the Spirit. A love to be spiritual. Yes. Some people love to be carnal. As she's sitting there, she has had sex in the night with some boy. She's come. It's like some of you are sitting here. Your phone, there's unbeliever songs, worldly music on it. Worldly music. Unbeliever songs. It's on your phone. But you claim you are a Christian. Fine. That's okay. But going forward from here, decrease your love for carnal, fleshly, worldly things. Decrease it. And increase your love for spiritual things. Increase it. Your worldly friends, disconnect yourself. You can't walk with God and be deeply connected to unbelievers. In fact, not just in church. I mean, you can't say you are selling pulpits. I sell wooden boxes. My business is wooden boxes. And my best friend doesn't like wooden boxes. I'm so deep into sweeping of the streets in Accra. And my best friend doesn't like sweeping. And I'm with a person. No. It is madness. You can't claim to love something and be friends with people who don't love what you love. The best way to go deeper in something is to disconnect yourself from the people who don't like what you like. So, I can tell you. I can give you names of people who disconnected themselves from me because they began to love things that they know I don't believe in. And it's good. I can give you names of people who disconnected themselves from me because they began to relate deeply with people I don't flow with, or who don't flow with me. I can give you a list. Nothing less than 10 names are flashing through my head. Don't love unspiritual people. Don't disconnect yourself. It is God who so loved the world. You must not love the world. God's love for the world was to convert the world. You must love people as long as they are cooperating with you, converting them. So you find in the Bible that God abandons people. He turns away from people. Read your Bible. Don't you have a Bible? Read it. He turns away. Jesus would go to places, he would turn away from there. That is why I'm saying that if you claim to be my friend and I discover that you are very deeply relating with somebody who hates me, honestly, yes, you believe you love me. It's true, but there's a problem with it. I mean, there are many things I can't discuss with you. Because once I discuss, since your best friend is this person, you are going to discuss with them. So that alone puts a limitation on our relationship. Listen to me carefully. Here we are loving Jesus. We are loving the Holy Spirit. We are loving God. Don't love people who don't love God. Separate yourself. Paul told the church in Corinth. He said, come out from among them. Out. Remove yourself. Some of you must remove yourselves from certain people. That is if you are interested in going deeper in God. I'm just teaching you how to be deep in God. If you are, then today begin the work of disconnecting yourself. And finally, do more. By loving people more. Yeah. And Bishop says it. He says, anybody who is going to do more for God will love people more, because you will need people to do more for God. So you have to tolerate people's behavior. Matthew 5, 44. Let's start from 46. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. You can never say you are spiritual if you are not doing this. Yeah, a day will come. Your Christian life will require you to be hugging, chatting, high-fiving people you know are enemies. Yes. But if you are not there, you will not believe it. Flowing, sitting, chatting. But you know that this person hates me. Yes. On the cross, his prayer on the cross was, Father, forgive them. Yeah, you will come to that place where if you can't do that, then you have not attained a certain level of spirituality. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. You want to curse all those who curse you. You want to not talk to all those who do not talk to you. No. To advance in Christ, you must talk to people who don't want to talk to you. You must love people who don't love you. Bless, 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 bless. Go, take me back to the previous verse. Bless them. Matthew 5, 46. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Oh, yes. It's something I'm currently practicing in my life. Doing good. That's how to go deeper. Anybody you know who is just tit for tat, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, is a carnal pastor, reverend, lady pastor, lady reverend, bishop. I'm telling you. Anybody you know who relates with people on the basis of their relationship with the person, it's not a correct person. Next verse. Pray for them which despitefully use you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. So your sun must shine on the evil and on the good. Your water must fall on the lovers and the haters. He makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. 46. For if you love them who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the publicans do the same? That's how you can detect the unbelievers amongst us. Who love those who love them? And next verse. Look at the next verse. And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? Even unbelievers, they buy beer for those who buy beer for them. You bear me, I bear you. Two guineas, two guineas. So if you are in church, you are a Christian born again, and you only do good to the people who do good to you, it means your spiritual life is at a very, you are at the level of an unbeliever. We know you are a believer when you do good to those who had the chance and did not do what I'm doing. You had the chance, you didn't do it for me. You had the chance, you didn't do it for me. You had the chance, you didn't do it for me. That's how to go deeper in love. I pray that today God will touch our hearts. And I'm going back to my first comment here. I don't know who your father is, but some of us, it's not money we have. Our blessing is not money. Our blessing is not beauty and handsomeness. Our blessing is not cars and buildings. Our blessing is not, our blessing is that God chose us and put us in his kingdom to be a part of the church and to serve him. If this is yours, then go deep in it. Rise to your feet. Well done. Clap your hands for Jesus. Go deep in your love for God. Go deep in your obedience. Your obedience. Believe God that in your lifetime, your pastor will call you and say, you know something, take your time. Don't do this and this again. Just, it's too much. Believe God. Yeah. That's my testimony to you. And I'm a man of like passions. That's my testimony. Because my pastor, he knows me. He knows that if he doesn't control me, I will even destroy myself from my ministry, from doing things I shouldn't be doing. Yeah. I was working in Kolebu Teaching Hospital and attending crusades in Takrade. I close in the afternoon, take a car to Takrade. I return the morning to work. In the afternoon, go to Takrade. And I come back in the morning, go back. This is too much. That's why I'm standing here. You too, when will you stand here? When will you stand here? Lift your two hands. Deeper in your love for God. Deeper in your love for people. Deeper. Everybody starts with loving those who love you and hating those who hate you. But as you go on, you must find yourself flowing with people you know don't even like you. But for a reason. For your own health. Your health. That you won't have cancer and diabetes. You are relating with them for yourself. Lift your two hands. Lift your two hands and pray. Father, we thank you. We are grateful for the great honor and for the great blessing of hearing your word. Our lives will never be the same. In Jesus' name. Every eye closed and every head bowed. If you are here today, every hand down, please put your hands down. I want to pray now as we end. For anybody here today who is not born again, you are not born again. I want to say, Pastor, from the preaching today, I want to love God. I want to give my love to God. I want to give my life to God. I want to serve God. I want to be close to Jesus. Pastor, pray for me. I want to give my life to Jesus. If you are here and you are not born again, I want to pray with you right now. I want to pray with you. If you want me to pray with you, just lift up your right hand now and say, Pastor, pray for me. Lift your hand now. Yes, Pastor, pray for me. Pastor, I want to be born again. Lift your hand high. Lift your hand high. Pastor, I want to be born again. I want to know Jesus. Pastor, I want to know Jesus. Lift your hand high. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. If your hand is up, I want you to come to me here. Come to the front here. I want to pray for you here. Come to the front here. Clap your hands for them. Yes. No talking, please. No talking, please. Let's lift up our two hands and let's bow our heads and pray. Lift your two hands. I want to pray for you. Do you want to receive Jesus Christ into your life? Those in front. Do you want to receive Jesus Christ into your life? You want to be born again? All right, so lift your hands and say this prayer after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I realize I am a sinner. Have mercy on me. Forgive me. I have sinned. I've done many bad things. I've not pleased you. Today I return to you. I ask you to please receive me. Walk with me. Love me. Receive me. Make me your child. I want to start again. I thank you for this great life. In Jesus' name. I'm starting a new life. Please help me to walk with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. You see our pastor holding the sign, follow me. Yes, please follow her. They are going to pray with you. They will visit you. They will talk to you. And then your life will not be the same. Keep clapping your hands. Clap your hands. Keep clapping your hands.
We trust that you have been mightily blessed and affected by the Word of God preached by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Do join one of our lovely services from the Mackinac Cathedral near Valley View University, Oyibi, Accra, this and every weekend at 7:30 p.m. on Saturdays, as well as 7:30 a.m. and 12 noon on Sundays. Connect with Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo on Facebook Live, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for joining us. God bless you.